The minimum age to buy tobacco products in the U.S. will be going up from 18 to 21. The change was part of a broad government spending package President Trump signed on Friday night. The new age limit, which also applies to e-cigarettes, had bipartisan support in Congress, and it was backed by health organizations and some tobacco industry groups. Certain supporters, however, say more needs to be done to lower nicotine addiction among teenagers. Dr. Patrick Remington is professor emeritus at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Where did this push for raising the smoking age to 21 initially come from?
Well, it's been proposed for over 100 years. In fact, we had laws on the books at the turn of the previous century limiting sales of cigarettes to those over 21. But this law is a federal law, which is the first of its kind, really require that people who purchase cigarettes or vaping products be 21 years of age. Some localities, some states have enacted that law, but this really levels the playing field across the country so that there's not this patchwork of different laws, how old you have to be to purchase these products.
Last time we talked to you, we were talking about Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, a tobacco state, being in favor of this idea. We've seen some tobacco companies and organizations in favor of this as well, apparently. Why were they backing it?
Well, it's a good question. Some may say that it's an amazing bipartisan effort to do the right thing. Healthier people, free from nicotine addiction and smoking-related diseases. But I think most people think that the tobacco industry has a long record, and Mitch McConnell and others who lobby on behalf of the tobacco industry think that there's, they wouldn't vote against their best interest. And so some people think that the impact will be actually quite small on cigarette sales and sales of vaping products, especially if it's not enforced. And so that's a question. What will the states do? The federal government's not going to enforce this age restriction. It will be up to states and localities. So what's going to happen with enforcement? And the second concern, and I think it's still a theoretical concern, is that Congress and local legislators and communities will say, well, we've done enough. We've raised it to 21. That should take care of it. And there are other really important things that could be done, and maybe the impetus or the inertia to do those things will be less.
Right. One thing that isn't here that some people were looking for was banning flavored vaping products, or at least some of them that might appeal more to kids. What do you make of that part of the story?
Well, this is not a ban on flavored products,
right.
And there's good evidence that the flavoring in vaping products is clearly intended to target to kids. Adults who are attempting to use vaping products or nicotine replacement therapy sought out bubblegum flavored and cherry flavored nicotine replacement products. So it's clearly targeted towards kids. So that this law does not address that. It doesn't prohibit communities from doing that, and that was a concern when we spoke last spring, that perhaps this law would have preempting local communities and states from enacting flavor bans, and that's not contained in the law. So I think it still leaves that door open. Most people are saying this is a move in the right direction. In 2015, there was a National Academy of Sciences very detailed review. The research is pretty thin on whether raising the age to 21 will affect smoking, but the consensus is that it will, decrease youth initiation and then down the road improve the public's health. So it's a good thing for public health. You just have to keep your eyes open and not simply rest on your laurels and keep looking at doing things that will reduce the harms from cigarette smoking.
Well, you mentioned enforcement here as being a big part of the issue. Do we know what works when it comes to enforcing a ban on selling cigarettes to minors, whether our breaking point is 18 or it's 21?
Well, we do. There's a lot of research on enforcement of sales. Those mostly were up to age 18 and mostly related to cigarette sales. Back in the 1990s, we began through an amendment to the Maternal and Child Block Grant called the SINAR Amendment. And in order for states to get their grants from the federal government for maternal and child health, you had to do inspections for bans. And those, so people who were selling knew that if they sold to kids, that they could be, that there might be a sting operation and that they could be penalized. So we know enforcement works. It's tough to do. It's easier just to simply have the law on the books and assume that it'll take care of itself. So it, and it's not clear that there are, certainly there are no funding dollars in this bill to provide enforcement. So it'll really be up to communities and states to pick up from this federal law.
Sometimes people make the case that, hey, passing a law, even if it's not heavily enforced, sends a message, a public health message, a moral message to the community. Does just passing a law like this in and of itself say something to the teens of the and 18 to 20-year-olds of the country?
I think it does. I think it first of all, it encourages conversations between parents and kids about the harms of not just cigarette smoking, but of vaping and getting addicted to nicotine. It also sets a standard so that communities may want to go further and do things that go beyond simply restricting the sales to those 21 years of age and older. So I think it's a good step in the right direction.
Talking to Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, we're looking at a change in the minimum age for smoking and e-cigarette purchases nationwide. This is a federal change. It passed in Congress as part of a really big spending bill. Dr. Remington, let's take a look at smoking trends and e-cigarette trends among teens in this country. What do we know about what's been happening over the years?
Well, this is a fascinating, what we call, natural experiment. We were not ready for e-cigarettes as a sort of public health research community. In Europe, a nicotine product called snus came out about 10 or 15 years ago, and the research showed that as people began using the smokeless product, which delivers nicotine in a relatively safe way, in some ways similar to vaping, smoking rates, burn cigarette smoking rates plummeted. And the consensus was that this may have actually been good for public health, that with less smoking, you see less lung cancer and heart disease and bronchitis, emphysema. People's health improved, even though some of these kids become addicted. That may be happening in the U.S. with vaping. We just don't know if the as kids get more exposure to nicotine products like vaping products, maybe they're going to be less likely to smoke. The early evidence is that cigarette smoking rates are at the lowest ever recorded, and the thoughts by some researchers are that this may be a result of kids becoming addicted to nicotine, but not through cigarettes, through vaping products. So I think the jury is definitely still out on this. Clearly what we'd like is kids not to use any nicotine devices, but it could be that with increases in vaping that we'll see fewer cigarette smokers and maybe better health outcomes down the road.
But pre-smokeless, pre-e-cigarette products, wasn't smoking going down among teens already?
Yeah, the smoking rates have been declining since the early 2000s, and so this has been. So that's why there's debate. Mm-hmm. Just because there's a trend doesn't mean it necessarily will continue, and that trend has accelerated beyond what people had predicted. So we had sort of watched cigarette smoking rates come down in kids, and they began to level off, and they've just continued down to remarkably low levels. And there's pretty good evidence that there's a substitution that kids now. You could just talk to a young person who is vaping and ask them what they think about vaping versus cigarette smoking, and they tell me smoking is really bad for you. And the word on the street is that vaping is not as bad, and it clearly doesn't lead to the cancers and heart disease and respiratory diseases that smoking does. It's not good for you. It would be better if kids didn't vape, but from a harm reduction strategy in a population, it may be that the overall impact is fewer people dying from cigarette smoking-related illnesses down the road.
I want to get your thought on yet another part of this story. These what appear to be mostly linked to bootleg e-cigarette products, many with THC. We see a lot of people with very acute lung problems, some deaths, dozens of deaths now around the country. What kind of approach can we take there to these already illegal products?
Well, that's a great question. One of the laws on the books in San Francisco actually bans e-cigarettes entirely, but they only ban unregulated e-cigarettes. And the move there, or the interest there, is to get the FDA to regulate these products. And this is an example of really an unregulated product. It is the Wild West of teen substance abuse, and you don't know what you're getting. And so by having the lack of regulation and really the surprise dramatic increase in these products, we've been caught off guard. And I think people who are looking to make money can get into this business, put whatever product they want in, and young adults and kids don't know what they're getting. And that clearly needs to be addressed through better regulation, through enforcement. I think we'll see those laws coming, and particularly given the incredible harm that's been caused by the products that have been put into the vaping products.
Patrick, 30 seconds or so left. Now we have this increase in the minimum smoking age. What are you watching for next?
Well, we're clearly watching to make sure that this isn't one step forward, two steps back, that it is a step forward, that it's a bipartisan effort that will lead to lower rates of cigarette smoking and use of vaping products. But we don't want to stop there. We want to go on to laws and regulations that really continue to see progress in reducing addiction, reducing the harms from cigarette smoking.
Patrick, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
And to you, too. We've been talking to Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He joins today for a look at Congress raising the age for buying tobacco and e-cigarettes to 21. That passed as part of a big spending bill. President Trump signed the whole package into law on Friday. You can share your thoughts on that idea. Email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.